Have you ever felt like you just didn't measure up? There's been many a times in my life when I have felt like the situation I find myself in is much bigger than what I can actually handle. I very vividly remember my wedding day and lots of things going wrong, and then the time comes for me to walk out in front of the congregation and wait for Heather to walk down the aisle. And I remember as I walked out, I felt completely and utterly inadequate. I felt like there was no way I was going to ever measure up to the love and support that I was receiving that day. I felt the same thing at the birth of every one of my children. I love them dearly, but I often feel that I don't measure up as a father, especially one because I didn't really know how to do certain things. I knew nothing about changing a diaper. I knew nothing about midnight feedings. I knew nothing about how to calm a baby. And I just felt like I never measured up to what needed to be done. We've all faced times in our life when we have been caught in sin. And at those points, it's very clear that we just don't measure up. We also feel that sometimes our lives don't measure up to what we had expected. I've asked this question in the past, but it's always a great thing to think of is how many of you are actually in the profession that you thought you were going to be in when you were a kid? Sometimes we feel like our lives don't measure up. And of course, 2020. Has 2020 measured up to anything that we had hoped for? Absolutely nothing. I saw it again on Facebook. I did not pull up the photo, but I really loved it. It's things like, did you know that Cinco de Mayo landed on Taco Tuesday? Did you know, obviously, Halloween landed, was that on a Friday or a Saturday? It was a Friday or Saturday. It was on the weekend. For heaven's sake, this was perfect. And then, of course, New Year's Day is a Friday. You're going to get a four-day weekend. Like, everything lined up perfectly, and everyone had all of these high hopes for what 2020 was going to be. But I don't think anyone could have ever imagined we would be in the position we're at. I know it's also really challenging because we're entering a Christmas season, a time when things get really busy at the church. And I have to admit, it's weird for me. Usually at this point, I'm working extra hours. I was planning last week to come in on my day off in order to do the Christmas recordings. And yet I find myself at home this entire time for these 2 weeks, just wondering what to do and getting as much as I could get done while at home, while also still trying to not feel sick in the process. This whole Christmas holiday is not measuring up the way I thought it was going to be either. And it's interesting that we're in Haggai. With Haggai chapter 2, we're going to be feeling a little bit of the same things that they're feeling as well. And so we once again take a look at the context. Remember, the people have returned back into the land of Jerusalem. They had started the rebuilding of the temple. They ran into a lot of problems. They came up with a lot of excuses and ultimately failed in rebuilding what was supposed to be done. And finally, God came to Haggai and said, you got to go send a message to these people that they're focused on everything other than me. They're focused on their own houses. They're not focused on the temple. They're focused on rebuilding their lives, but they're not focused at all on rebuilding their spiritual lives. And so you need to go and talk to them about maybe reorienting their priorities so that they can come back to me. And if you remember, they spoke to the people, and the people, amazingly enough, responded in a really positive way. Again, I think that that's what's really important for us when we are confronted with things that we are failing at. The temptation is to make the excuses. The temptation is to say it's really not that bad. The harder thing to do is to simply accept it and say, yeah, I got things to work on. I got stuff I got to get fixed. And when you do that, you're now finally in a position to make changes that will actually step you into God's will and have things go a whole lot smoother for you. And so that's what they said. They said, we will do this. We will get back to rebuilding the temple. And again, I mentioned it over and over again. I'll say it again this week too. It's not about building the temple. It's about having the right priorities in life. This goes back again to what Jesus said. Seek the kingdom of God first, and then all these other things will be added unto you. And that's what God is saying. Focus on the spiritual life, and things will go better for you. And I think it's, again, a great message for us, especially at Christmas time, how easy it is to get distracted. Maybe a lot less distracted this year than most, but still there's enough distractions that take us away from what God wants us to be a part of. They said, we're gonna do it. So they went to rebuild, and they started this process, and it's really interesting because in a very interesting twist of circumstances, God comes back and speaks to them 2 months later. Now, this would be pretty quick for a prophetic message to come and then to be spoken again. In chapter 2, there's really three messages that get out, all very much at the same time. And so we're going to take a look at these messages and see what they have for us. So it says, on the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Now, if you go back and make some calculations, this is essentially 2 months later than the original one about rebuilding the temple. 2 months later, God comes back. Now, at this point, pretty much every religious feast is going on. They're just starting some. They're just ending some. It's kind of this swirling activity. So for us, it would be the equivalent of either Christmas or Easter when the season gets really silly for us. It's also interesting because we're going to find it a little bit later on this, the 21st day of the 7th month. This is October 17th. A little bit later in verse 10, we're going to be on the 24th day, 9th month, which happens to be December 18th, which is pretty close to the time that we're at right now. So on this day, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? God understands that they're really struggling because things are not measuring up to what they had hoped for. How they had imagined the temple being rebuilt, it's nowhere near that glory and splendor. And I know that when things don't measure up, when we don't measure up, or when our expectations don't measure up to the reality, we end up getting discouraged. And God is saying, you've got to start letting go of some of those expectations. I know it's hard for me right now as I sit here looking out. It's December 20th. We're right before Christmas. This is supposed to be like the really fun festive time. And I'm sitting here in a sanctuary. I got Jacob, I've got Bubba, I've got Josh. I got John in the back. Thank you, John, for running live stream. Thank you for all who decorated, but it's nowhere near, like we have no decorations on the walls. We have no decorations really outside. We usually have decorations on this back wall area, and it's all just bare because we can't have you here, so why decorate it? Because no one's gonna see it. And it's really sad. I know that my father-in-law, he sometimes sends me messages and says, it's really hard because at the time when things are supposed to be the busiest, we turn on the cameras and we look around and there's literally no one here. The preschool is gone. I'm not coming in. Nicole still comes in a little bit to run some office stuff. But really, this place is empty, which is really sad. But we've got to get to the point where it's not about what we expect, and it's not about how we think things should go. Instead, We should simply say our goal and focus is on God and God alone, and if we have that, then we have everything. And that's what God is trying to encourage them, saying, look, a lot of you who are old enough remember the temple when it was really big, and now you're looking at this, and it's really sad. But he says, be strong. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. The same words that the people of Israel needed as they were traveling through the wilderness. The same words as they entered into the promised land. Be strong, be courageous, do not fear. He says, I am with you. Again, how important this message is for us at Christmas time. Because we know that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which is God is with us. That means if this year has not measured up to what you had hoped, God is still with you. This means if you are struggling with a sin that continues to remind you how you don't measure up to God's standards, God says, I am with you. If this Christmas is not measuring up to what you had hoped for, God is still with you. Even if you can't see family and friends over the holidays, God is with you. Be strong. Be courageous. Do not fear. And I know that fear right now is something that is in grand supply. Do not fear, for God is with you. Verse 6, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty, and in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Do you think that God's trying to say something? He's like, I'm saying this, declares the Lord Almighty. I'm saying this, declares the Lord Almighty. Something big is going to happen. Again, for the people in Haggai's day, they were waiting for the Messiah. And they didn't realize, they didn't understand that when he came, he was going to be able to effectively abolish any practices that still needed to be done at the temple, the sacrifices that were constantly being made, the presence of God being located in a house. He says, I'm no longer going to be doing that. Something crazy is going to happen, and this temple is going to be greater because Jesus is going to enter it. The desired of nations is going to come. He's going to fill it, and it's going to be absolutely wonderful, and then he's going to tear it down and 3 days later rebuild it. And then he's going to covenant that his presence is going to go with us. So even if this place remains empty for the next year, 2 years, 5 years, 30 years, if this building remains empty, God is with you. He's not going to abandon you because his presence is always where you are at. And the place where you're at is holy ground. Again, if this building remains empty, doesn't matter. You know why? Because Searchlight has, I don't know how many churches we have now. How many churches we got? How many people are logged in listening to this? How many people on Facebook? You got to think that there's at least 30, 40, 50 churches scattered all across America now. Searchlight Ministries. Because God is with you right now in your living room. God is with you in your bedroom if you're watching there. God is with you even if you're watching this at a later date. This is incredible. And this is, I love the phrase, though. I know there's some controversy of whether or not this is a messianic thing or not. I find a lot of messianic language in here. But again, O come, O come, Emmanuel has this incredible verse, O come, desire of nations, come. And the desire of all nations, that's what is, we're at. This is Haggai chapter 2. And he talks about, O bid our sad divisions cease, and be for us the King of Peace. Now, I don't know about you again, how wonderful that's going to be. But something has to change. It's not about the glory of the temple. It's not about the adornments on the outside. It's not about how big the building is or how many gold pieces are. God is going to change things up radically. Now, I have not said my catchphrase in a while. I don't know why. I think as time goes on, I really love stability. The older I get, the more I like things to stay the same. But years ago, I remember hearing some pastor speak this phrase, and it's been my motto for a while, especially when it comes to churches. You've probably heard the phrase, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, I subscribe to a different motto, which is, if it ain't broke, break it. Because sometimes we get so attached to the way things were, we get so attached to the glory days, that we fail to see what God is doing. Imagine, I have a hard time imagining. I know that years ago, we've had pandemics. And those were times when, if they told you to stay at home, you stayed at home and did nothing. No Candy Crush on your phone, no FaceTiming your friends, no connecting with other people through technology. We are at a time and a place when this can actually work, and in fact, as you've heard me say, I think that God is breaking the way that church is being done to make something new and different. And maybe he needs to make sure that things do not measure up, so that we stop hanging on to the way things should be, the way we want them to be, and instead say, God, what are you doing? Maybe it's time to give up sometimes on those things that are holding you back, because this is the way it's got to be. Maybe it's because of a future a job that you have envisioned for yourself. You've envisioned it for yourself, but God hasn't. Maybe it's if for your marriage, that it's not really living up to the way you thought it was going to be. It's not quite as exciting. It's not quite as happy. And God is saying, you need to understand my presence is with you. And things may not be the way you want them to be, but they'll be the way they can be and the way God wants them to be. Maybe God needs to shake up your heavens and your earth so that things will be a little bit different, so that you go, well, that's not what I had planned, but God had it planned for you. As I've said before, I'll say it again, God was not surprised by coronavirus. Not at all. He didn't sit around going, huh, didn't see that one coming. 2020 isn't shaping up the way I thought it was going to be. No, instead God said, I know what I need to do, and I'm going to take something that's terrible and bad and horrible, and he's going to somehow or other turn it for good. So even though 2020 doesn't measure up, though the temple doesn't measure up to the way they thought it was going to be, he says it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be fantastic. All right, verse 10. He has to give a lesson on transference of holiness and defilement. Very interesting. After I read this, I'm like, who really cares? But then I realized we're actually living through this exact thing. And it's, how does one become defiled and how does one become holy? And he's going to give them a little lesson. So on the 24th day of the ninth month, which would be December 18th, 520 BC, the second year of Darius, The word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. As the priests with the law say, if a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and then that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine or other food, does it become consecrated? So the idea is like, I'm carrying some holy food next to my chest here, and it's touching my garment. And then I put it down, and I pick up something else, and I touch it. Does it transfer? Like, does the consecrated meat transfer to this, then transfer to this? And the priests say, no, it doesn't work that way. That's not how holiness is transferred. He goes, okay. But if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? So if I come in contact with a dead body and then someone comes in contact with me, have they become defiled? And the answer is, according to the law, yes, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with these people and the nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer, there is defiled. And he's saying this is the problem, is because there hasn't been this opportunity to have these forgiveness of sins and the consecration and holiness. He says, so that's why he says, give careful thought from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. Isn't that depressing? You go to the wine vat, and you were supposed to have 50 measures, and there was only 20. That's like opening up your wine bottle, and there's less than half the bottle. Do you feel the pain? Do you feel the pain? You open up your whiskey bottle, and instead of it being full, it's already halfway gone. That this is the problem. And God says, I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from the 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. So he said, this is how it works. Your defilement is far-reaching, but the holiness is not. So question, if I have coronavirus, can I give coronavirus to another person? Disease spreads rapidly, doesn't it? I think we're all quite aware of it. Now, I've gone through coronavirus. I have not gotten any antigen testing, but I should assume that I have some antigen testing, and also we're now rolling out vaccines. If someone is vaccinated, can the vaccine transfer to the next person? No. Isn't that crazy? It's amazing how defilement happens, how quickly sin can come from us, and it just goes rapidly throughout everyone else. But God says, for holiness, it's an individual thing. You've got to come back to me. If things are defiled, if things are not going right, if things are problematic, come to me. If you've got coronavirus, come to me. If things are not measuring up, come to me. If you don't quite have enough, if the measurement in your vats are not high enough, come to me. If your financial situation was not the way you thought it was going to be, he says, come to me. Come to me and I will be with you. That's the promise. I'm ripping this up. I'm paraphrasing someone else, but I really liked it. Here's a question. What separates your defiled past from the future blessing? What separates your defiled past from future blessing? And the answer is today's obedience, today's holiness, and today's belief. If you want to see some changes in your life, it's as simple as following God. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. If you're struggling with your finances, seek first the kingdom of God and then all those things will be added unto you. If you're trying to figure out a career path, seek first the kingdom of God, all those things will be added unto you. If you're trying to figure out how to hold a family together as the patriarch or matriarch, Seek first the kingdom of God, and all those things will be added. Defilement travels fast, and we're all infected with it. We're all infected with sin. And God says, if you want holiness, don't go to church. If you want holiness, don't hang around Christians. If you want the holiness, you go to God. And he says, come to me, and I will make you holy. I will be with you. And then he finishes up with, do you see the end of it? The last part of verse 19. From this day on, I will bless you. How do you like that? You with God, guess what? Your life is going to be blessed. It may not measure up to what you think it's going to be, but it's still going to be blessed. It may not have that straight shot going up that you like. There's going to be these things and stops and caverns and big giant boulders and crazy things, but God will bless you. Yesterday's defilement needs to simply go through today's obedience and faith and trust in God to get future blessing. That's what they had been promising. So if we want Searchlight to be blessed in the future, what do we need to do? Be obedient now. If we want Searchlight to be influential in this world, we've got to maybe give up the way we think influence happens, as sizes of buildings and numbers of chairs become irrelevant because the reach we can have far outstrips and outweighs any glory we could have here in this facility. And the same thing with your life as well. If you finally just say, God, I will give up what I want just simply to follow you, it is a scary thing to say. But when we trust and we do not fear and we have faith, God says, come with me. It may not measure up the way you think, but I will bless you with more than you can ever, ever imagine. And he gives this final promise. It's hard for us to understand how people were feeling, but at this point, they were really struggling with their viewpoint on the Messiah, because there had been a proclamation had been made that the Davidic line had ended. God had promised that there would come from the Davidic line the Savior, the Messiah. And soon things got so bad, so terrible, God said, you know what? If you were a signet ring, if you were the testimony of my love, much like we think of wedding rings, testimonies of love, if you were a signet ring, I would take it off. This is what God's saying. He said in Ezekiel, I'm leaving the building. I'm departing. It has gotten so bad, so defiled, no one is seeking after me. I've got to leave, and if you were a signet ring, I would take you off. That was the last promise that God had said about the Messiah. Now, you got to imagine, they're like, well, what's going to happen now? Can anything be different? Which is why the end of Haggai sounds a little strange if you don't know that context. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. And if you want, you can always check Matthew chapter 1, believe it's verse 12, as the royal line to Jesus is mapped out by Matthew, guess who's listed? Good old Zerubbabel. God says, that promise that I had, am I right? See, I was right. Thank you for checking that out, Jacob. It is challenging when we hear God's displeasure. But again, the past defilement can can change to future blessing because of today's faith. These people had faith. They trusted in God. They said, we're going to follow you. And God said, because of that, the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he's going to shake things up. It's going to be different. He may not measure up to what you thought. You may have wanted a warrior. You may wanted to have wanted someone to wield a sword. You may have wanted someone to show up with horses and fanfare. But he's going to come in a way you're not expecting it. As a baby, born in a manger, born to humble parents in a humble setting, not with the fanfare of angels, but instead with faith of people who said, here is the Messiah. So are there things that you need to give up? Things that are maybe they're your expectations of how your life should be. Maybe it's something in the future. Maybe it's even something in the past. Maybe some of you are holding on to the stuff in the past for so long, and all it's doing is just ruining your life. And instead say, God, it's not what I expected, but I'll still take it. Maybe things didn't measure up. God says, I can still be with you, and I can still bless you, and I can still take care of you. And I promise that I will always love you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you that though holiness can't be transferred from me to someone else, it can be transferred from Jesus to me. And I thank you that we can receive your grace and mercy. So we pray for us now, Lord, as we think of the future, as we get ready for Christmas Eve. I pray, Lord, that we give up what we think Christmas Eve is going to look like and just celebrate the fact that you are with us. That we give up the way we think things should go for our lives and instead trust that you've got a plan, purpose for us. And we thank you for all that you are doing, how you are once again shaking the heavens and the earth during this crazy busy time and leading us back to you, back to what is important. We love you and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'll invite you to go ahead and grab your communion elements. I'm going to go over and grab mine as well, and the Manning men can come and grab it as well, and together we will commune. And now I don't have to worry about infecting anyone because you all are... Oh, what? Oh, okay. Do you want me to announce that to everyone?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Mark Thomas, come on up here. Okay. And here you go. Again, one of the amazing things I think about communion is that it's that promise and fulfillment, again, of Emmanuel, God is with us. We celebrate the real presence of God with us. That it's not something that is just some ethereal thought. He is actually here with us. He is present. In with and under this bread and wine is Christ's body and blood. And what an incredible thing this is. And again, Paul says we should examine ourselves so that we can know the forgiveness of sin so we can experience it. And again, you may have something holding you back, a sin that you need to confess, something that needs to be done, a change that needs to be made. And this can happen, this bread and this wine, this promise of the body and blood of Christ. So will you join with me in the words of institution, and together we will commune together. On the night the Christ was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Will you join with me in prayer? Thank you, Lord, that things don't sometimes live up to our expectations, because sometimes I think our expectations are just downright silly and ridiculous. Sometimes they're completely off base. Sometimes they're not grand enough. Sometimes they're focused on the wrong things, like our own glory and our own standing. So often, Lord, Christmas is not about honoring Jesus and his birth, but it's about fulfilling within us some sort of need that we have, and we just totally lose sight. And so we pray again for this week, as it's coming up, that our eyes would be fixed on you, that we would seek first the kingdom of God, and then you will take care of all of the other things. Lord, now hear the prayers of your people. Lord, we lift up Heather right now, and the cough that she still has, and the loss of taste and smell that she is still struggling with. We pray that you would provide her with complete and full healing, that anyone else suffering from coronavirus now would also feel that healing. Lord, we pray for Adrienne right now. She's going in for parathyroid surgery tomorrow. We pray that you'd be with her, that you'd be with Jeff and the family and the kids. And we just ask that you would heal her and bring her back safely. Lord, we pray for Melissa's coworkers, Ernesto and Alberto and Sergio, as they have been in the ICU now for 6 weeks. And things are not looking good. And Lord, we just know that this is a time of miracles and a time of grace. So Lord, we just implore you and beg of you that you would heal them, that even right now they would start turning a corner and that things would be different. And we pray that you would help us to continue to trust in you. We pray for the health of these people, that you would not let them perish, Lord, but let them live. And again, may we trust in you, and may we always submit to your will. Lord, we also pray for the Moreno family and the Prince family, as they're all dealing with COVID-infected family members. It seems like that is smack dab in our face. It's something that is all around us now, and we see so much. And we just ask for your healing. Healing for these people, and safety for those who have not gotten it yet, that you would keep them and protect them and let them not get infected. Lord, we pray for Joe, Mary's brother, who also has the coronavirus and is really sick. And being 93 years old, how challenging that is. We thank you, Lord, that she December 22nd should be the end of the virus for her, and we pray for healing, but we pray for Joe that he would also receive that healing and that grace. Lord, we pray for Paige, who was in the ER. She stubbed her toe. And how challenging it is for a lot of other people right now who have medical issues and medical problems, but there's not much that can be done. The resources are so spread thin. So we pray for those who are struggling with those types of things. We pray for our frontline workers, and I thank you for the times I get to see the stories of people that I know of who are working now in these medical professions and the incredible work that they do. And we pray for this vaccine as it rolls out, that Lord, maybe this would help stem the tide. But Lord, no matter what happens, we pray that our hearts would return back to you, that we would see that we've all been defiled, and it's important for us to come back to you, asking for forgiveness, seeking your healing, and knowing that you will always be with us, that our sins have been forgiven in Jesus' name, they've been wiped out in Jesus' name, they've been tossed into the sea because of Jesus, they have been hidden behind your back, they're as far from us as the east is from the west. And we thank you that you have healed us of sin and brought us into new life. We thank you and we praise you because of Jesus, in whose name we pray.